Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 1:45 p.m. That is Central Time. Today is August 23rd, and the dollar had one of the bigger moves in the last few months in here today, pulling back from the upper side of the range. I found it rather difficult looking at the dollar advancing over the course of the last month and more, because I've been of the view that this looks like a type 3 top formation, and yet the dollar has been rising. So that certainly, I think, led me to question my conviction. The whole dollar bullish trend would be predicated on supply inelasticity. So every market comes back to supply and demand eventually, and when we start to think about the dollar, well, then the supply inelasticity argument is centered on tapering. And if they were to taper, that would reduce the supply of dollars. It would naturally lead to a stronger dollar overall. And the strength of the dollar over the course of the last while has certainly helped to temper inflationary pressures, considering that the shipping costs have been rising, then the stronger dollar has helped to blunt the inflationary impetus. But the big question now is, how much longer can that persist? Because if the Federal Reserve steps back from talking about tapering and look more at what's happening in the wider economy, because if we just look around and certainly continue to see it, and I've given you another example. Yesterday was Mrs. Tracy's birthday, and as an experiment, I went through OpenTable and I looked at where I could get dining reservations. And I went to all of the most prestigious steakhouses in Dallas, and there are a lot of them. And I had absolutely no difficulty getting a reservation at any one of them. So 2 to 3 weeks ago, one would have had to make a reservation weeks in advance because there had been a surge in dining out. So that's a clear example that people are pulling back and they're staying at home. They're worried about the Delta variant, and that's going to have a knock-on effect for consumer confidence, consumer sales in the latter portion of this quarter and potentially leading into the fourth quarter. So it would be natural then for the Federal Reserve to start to think about perhaps delaying their expectation that they may be able to taper in the near term. So it would suggest that that's going to get put on the back burner. Therefore, the supply of dollars will remain intact, and the liquidity plays that have been such good performers should also benefit. And then, of course, that's been beneficial for gold. So the gold price was up about $23 in here today, but it was a dynamic move and pushing up and out of this little short-term range, closing above the $1,800 area, completely unwinding the big pullback from about a week ago, and certainly helping to lend some credence to the view that the low was at $1,700 and that we're coming out the other end of this corrective phase overall. Of course, we've had a lot of very volatile action in gold, and when we look at the trend over the last year, there's a preponderance of big downward dynamics. So the big tail on the candle on Monday of last, of 2 weeks ago, well, then that was certainly at least some indication that a lot of selling pressure had taken place, and now prices are pushing up and out of this range. Looking like more bullish action overall. Silver prices were also firmer in here today. They didn't pull back as much as the gold price had. They've been a bit slower to rebound, but certainly pulling back less and then a slower rebound. That would suggest that silver is still leading on the upside here. And there's the potential, I think, that silver is going to play significant catch-up, and it might well be able to push on to new highs before gold can. That would certainly be suggestive of, or at least would be in form for, this portion of the overall bull market. And platinum prices were also in positive territory today. So now pushing back above that $1,000 level again and confirming support in the region of the upper side of the base formation. So we've had a very meaningful pullback right across the precious metals sector, and now we're starting to see prices appreciating once more. One thing that I find particularly interesting is that the gold sector has been quite weak and is now right in the region also of the upper side of the base formation, beginning to show some evidence of support coming through in here. One thing that I've seen more commentary of is that although the gold sector is cash rich and they've had a very productive time over the course of the last year, that productivity and they've got rising cost bases overall, and that might be impacting the appetite of investors. Whereas I think more realistically, it's about the fact that gold prices haven't gone anywhere for a year has been the major contributing factor to less interest in the gold sector. But then, of course, there has also been one of the factors that has contributed to the rising cost of production is oil. And oil prices have bounced impressively from the region of the trend mean in here today. It's a clear example of an upside key reversal. And if we get upside follow-through tomorrow, well then I think it is more likely than not that we're going to see the price push all the way up to the upper side of the range and potentially test the $80 level. Of course, it's not like there's an oversupply of oil. Certainly the big surfeit of supply is being eroded, and that's certainly helping to support the price overall. But the big question is whether we're going to see prices above $80 for any kind of sustained period. And certainly this is a trend that's reasonably consistent, and it's a big upper dynamic today, which is confirming a near-term low. But I do question how much higher oil prices can go. And but I think until we see it breaking its sequence of higher reaction lows, we have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Copper prices also continue to rebound, and that is despite the fact that there's still uncertainty about the economic outlook for China. But the price was well off the low last week, and we are seeing some upside follow-through in here this week. So it's at least near-term support in the region of the psychological $4 area and the region of the trend mean. And this is also meaningful because it's looking like consolidation in the region of the all-time peaks. And as long as it can hold that $4 area, then I don't think there's any particular reason to be worried about the medium-term outlook. Of course, higher copper prices are likely to contribute to inflationary pressures, and certainly they will contribute to the higher cost of production of electric vehicles and also of wind turbines. And the wind sector continues to firm here from the region of the trend mean, and it's been in a corrective phase for most of this year. It's going to be a major consumer of copper going forward. And the solar sector was also in positive territory in here today, so starting to build support here in the region of the trend mean. The uranium sector had pulled back rather sharply last week, but then popped on the upside in here today, so that's also helping to confirm support in the region of the trend mean. So what we've seen right across the boards has been a lot of sectors that are very dependent on access to liquidity have been underperforming or have been reverting back to the mean for months now. And with even the first whiff that the Federal Reserve might delay tapering, then they have received a significant bid that stretches all the way from the resources sector to the energy sector, renewable energy, semiconductors, and of course the wider stock market as well. So with the dollar starting to ease, then the S&P 500 was at another new all-time high in here today, and it's another example of how small the reactions are and how quickly the market can rebound back, with the Nasdaq pushing up and out of this month-long range, and the movement that we're getting in the VIX index is substantially larger, where it's come from 25 down to 17 in the space of 3 sessions, and still holding this sequence of lower rally highs. So there is still scope here that we're going to see the VIX index continue to trend downwards. And it's quite normal to see that we get it coming back down over time, but then you do get occasional bouts of volatility. And it took a while to get it back below our 15 and into the 10 area previously. And now I think we have the potential that we're looking at a replay of the 2017 area, where the VIX trended lower for a substantial portion of time, and we got more instances when it traded below 10 than at any time in history combined during the period of 2017. So if we're not going to see a tightening up of policy, then it's quite likely that the VIX will continue to trend downwards, and that this buy the dip strategy will persist for as long as that remains the case. Eventually, of course, the Federal Reserve and other central banks will tighten policy, and they will start to become more afraid of inflation. But at the reality right now is that with slowing economic growth and a global impact from the Delta variant, they don't have accelerating growth figures, and they're going to be wary of tightening into that kind of environment, because we still have lots of unemployed people. There are a lot of mismatches in the economy, and it would be reckless to take away that all of that assistance in the near term while there are so many unknowns. Also, there's the simple fact that if in the event that they do intervene, well then that will contribute to deflationary forces, and they've been talking about inflation being transitory, but the only way inflation is going to be transitory is if they intervene. And if they don't intervene, well, then it's unlikely that inflation will be transitory. So they're in a catch-22 situation. And of course, with the potential that liquidity will persist, bond yields were a little softer in here today and weren't quite able to hold on to the advance intraday. So we still have a higher reaction low here, and it's broken the downtrend. But now the question is, will it hold it? And it's an awfully big question, because if bond yields continue to trend lower, well, then we can anticipate that the stock market, and particularly the crypto markets, will continue to be firm. Bitcoin was through the 50,000 level for a period of time in here today, but wasn't quite able to hold it. But it has sustained this breakout from the recent range, and as long as it's doing that, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. It is now testing the lower side of the overhead trading range. So this $50,000 area is a natural place where we can anticipate some pause and consolidation, but it might only be brief, because as a lightning rod for liquidity, then there's certainly potential that cryptocurrencies will benefit probably more than other assets from the continued supply of new dollars. And of course, if the dollar is weaker, well, then that is also going to be beneficial for the wider global market. So the Euro Stoxx index has also rebounded, but not in as dynamic a manner as the S&P 500 has, or the Nasdaq. But of course, that's also down to the impact of the dollar. I think one thing that is particularly relevant is that in dollar terms, Europe has been going sideways for the last 3 months. So as the dollar weakens, on the assumption, of course, that it does weaken, then other assets like Europe or Japan or the emerging markets more generally they should start to attract interest. And I've typed in the wrong ticker there for the Nikkei, because the Nikkei has been quite weak as the dollar has been firm. And now we're starting to see the Nikkei firming up once more from the lower side of the range and the region of the trend mean. And the big question, of course, is as the dollar starts to weaken, will the Bank of Japan have any tolerance for the yen to strengthen? They've certainly been more active of late in attempting to devalue the currency, but certainly if the dollar starts to weaken, then that should act as a stabilizing force for a number of emerging market currencies. And we've also seen that the Chinese market has also been steadier in here today. So we've seen overall that the Chinese market has been a source of uncertainty over the course of the last while, but it has at least found near-term support in the region of the July low. So it's not a bullish chart overall. It's got a lot of work to do in order to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment, but at least it hasn't broken down. As we think about the Delta variant overall, well, the one point in its favor is that it's very transmissible. So we're on the cusp of potentially coming towards the peak in infections in a number of places, particularly in the USA. And we'll know that because the growth rate in infections has already peaked, which means that the number of infections will continue to rise for about another 3 weeks and then start to taper off. So then if the Delta variant peaks, that's likely to be beneficial for everywhere and also likely to result in less caution being expressed by consumers. So what we're definitely looking at is ebb and flow. We're looking at the moment that there is the potential for a delay in tapering because the Delta variant is rising. And of course, that will start to come back on the table, and the chances of tapering will increase as the Delta variant recedes. Of course, there's the question then is what will be the next variant that will scare people, and how many times will this thing mutate before we all get it under control? And that's also beneficial for the vaccine producers, and Pfizer had their vaccine approved by the FDA in here today, so it's no longer an experimental one, and they are willing to stand behind it now. So the share has risen substantially in advance of that decision. So the big question will be, will it be able to sustain it? And has this already been priced in? Because we've had a significant acceleration in prices. But the logic is that these virus solutions will be cash cows for the longer term because of the potential for variants. So we're at an interesting point in markets. We certainly had some risk appetite coming back in, and the buy the dip strategy continues to work. So we're back in a risk on environment. Within the next 3 or 4 weeks, I think it's likely that we're going to have the question about tapering brought back onto the calendar, and at that point we might start to see some easing again. But in between now and then, there's certainly potential for additional upside for the majority of stock markets. I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.